The family, no matter how small the family, there's always going to be some family turmoil. Amen. All right. Our verse was Acts 20 and verse 21. We left off with that last week talking about the scoffers. And you're going to come up to some sooner or later. So let's go over to Acts 20, verse 21. We'll read that and then get right into our next lesson. Acts 20. And verse 21, make sure you're quoting that to Miss Rose as well. Acts 20 and verse 21. Amen. All right, everybody there, let's say that one together. Acts 20, 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 20, 21. Notice how that reads. It is repentance towards God. So we've got to repent and get back to God. And then faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. When we repent to God, we've got to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a pattern there. Repentance toward God because we've offended God with our sin. And then we have faith, put our faith and trust toward the Lord Jesus Christ, why he's the sin bearer. So praise God for that. That's what scoffers need. That's what mockers need. That's what you and I needed. Amen. So let's pray and trust the Lord. Father, thank you this morning. Help us as we look at this lesson, Victory Over Family Turmoil. We all know what it is. We've experienced it. And Lord, help us to understand it a little bit more and get the victory over it. Thank you for loving us. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. We're going to be talking about victory over family turmoil. We're going to be looking at the prodigal son. Let's go over to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. How many know the story of the prodigal son? Raise your hand if you know that story. Okay. So many of us already know the story, so we won't have to spend much time developing it. We will spend quite a bit of the class time today, though, talking about families. Families. And why do you think we're going to spend quite a bit of time today talking about families? Why would we spend a lot of time talking? Before we even talk about turmoil, why are we going to talk a lot about families? Miss Diana? One of the first things God ordained, that is true. Why else would we talk about families? Ms. Tamara? We all have issues, certain issues with families. Yes, Ms. Dawson? Family makes up the church, it makes up the workforce, it makes up just about everything. Amen. Everybody comes from a family of some sort. Amen. Why else are we going to talk a little bit about families? These are all true. These are all true. So there is no wrong answer in that. These are all true. Why else are we going to talk about families? Bro? It is our heritage. That's true. That's true. Why else are we going to talk a lot about families today? Not just the turmoil, but families in general. Good. Kate.
Our families know the true us.
Families know the true us. Amen. Families know. Are there any two families identical? No, because there's no two people identical. So there's going to be a myriad of scenarios of families, you know. Brother Duffy, raised in Wisconsin, so by nature, he's a Green Bay fan.
Amen. Yeah.
Curse on him, amen. By nature, I'm from Illinois. I'm a Chicago fan. Amen. Duffy would say, curse on me, amen. Brother Fred, he likes Minnesota Vikings, amen. You know, from that area. So, you know, it all depends on where you're from. Tana's from L.A., California, so she's got a choice of teams. Whichever one is winning, amen, she can pick. Amen. I only got one football team. Duffy's only got one football team.
Amen.
You know, Tamara's got her choice of baseball teams and football teams and basketball teams. Whichever one is winning, that's my team. Amen. So they're all so unique. And let me say this, with turmoil in families, did that catch God by surprise?
No, it doesn't.
No, it didn't catch God by surprise. God knew we were going to have turmoil.
Yes, sir, he did.
He knew we were going to have turmoil. He knew there was going to be problems. He knew there were going to be issues with families. Then why make them? Then why make them? If they're going to be problems, why make them? You know, if you know your car is going to break down, why are you going to make that car? We need them.
We need them.
The horse and the buggy days are over. Amen. We need them. Yes, Diana?
Well,
Mm-hmm. And how we can understand a little more about God than we understand the things.
Amen. So in other words, give us an illustration of the Godhead. Amen. 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 Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. That's true. Anything. Why make the family if God knew there was going to be a problem with it? He may be glorified. Yes, that's true. Diana? Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And by the way, keep this in mind. Because God did create man, he had to have some family to bring the Redeemer through. He had to have some family to bring the Redeemer through.
That's right.
So there had to be that aspect of it as well. Well, let's read through the passage here, and then I'm going to give you a brief overview and then ask you a whole bunch of questions about the family. And I want you to think about not just your family, but families that you've seen. Maybe families you grew up with, maybe some other families in your family, some other brothers and sisters and cousins and aunts. And I want you to think about those families as we talk about some of the things about the family today. Let's pick it up at Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 11. Of course, this is the story of the prodigal son. And this is illustrating God's concern for lost people. And he illustrates the lost sheep there in the verses 1 through 6. And then he begins to come down there and talk about the lost coin down there in verses 8 through 10. And then 11 down through 32, he begins talking about the prodigal son. Now, the story basically in a nutshell is this. Two sons, one said, give me what I got coming to me. He gets it, goes off and wastes. Comes to himself, yep. Comes back home. Father receives him. Elder brother gets mad. And that's about the end of the story. Amen. By the way, that is the picture that we're going to look at for this particular family turmoil. But there are many, many other turmoil situations. This is just one of many. Okay. Pick it up in verse number 11. It says, and he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Notice that word all. He spent all. Normally, it's not until people are at the end of their rope where they recognize their destitute state. Mm-hmm. Verse 15, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. No man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Praise God that he knew he could still go to his father. Aren't you glad that no matter what happens in our families, we can go to our father? No matter what our family members do to us, no matter what they say to us, no matter how they treat us, it's a joy to know that we can always go to our father in heaven no matter what happens. Amen. And that is joy. We may not always be able to go to our earthly parents. Our mother or father, they may not be living or whatever the case may be, but I can always go to God when people treat me bad. Amen. I like that. Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He arose and came to his father. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And his son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. The father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. So that is far as we're going to pretty much discuss in regards to the book is concerned. But the topic here in lesson 8 is victory over family turmoil. And again, this is just one type of turmoil when a son leaves home and kind of leaves in a bad way. Now, he didn't really leave in a bad way, but it's kind of insinuated.
Right.
That it's a bad way. He wants to do what he wants to do. He's tired of daddy's rules. He wants to have his own stuff. He wants to go out there, and he does so. Let me read to you what the book says here in overview. It says, every family faces problems from time to time. While God intended the family to be a place of joy and security, the entrance of sin into the world introduced turmoil. Yep. By the way, did the first family have turmoil?
Yes.
What brought that turmoil on? Well, yeah, amen. Well, that's true, too. But even before Cain and Abel came on the scene, what brought in the first turmoil? Sin. They ate of the fruit. Think of the discussion that Adam had after he bit into that fruit with Eve. It's not recorded, but I bet he did have some words with her.
Yeah, I think so.
You know what she probably said? Nobody made you eat it.
Yeah, that's right, Pastor.
Did anybody make him eat it?
No.
Sometimes as husbands, we make some decisions. The wife says, nobody made you make the decision. Yeah, but you pressured me. You boo-hooed. You cried. You had pouty, poochy lips. Well, did I tie you up and force you to do it? You knew better. You know, sometimes, don't you feel that way, husbands? Amen. It's like, well, thought that's what you wanted. Well, no, I want you to do what God wants you to do. Oh, now we're going to get spiritual. But there was turmoil in the first family. Many families have been completely derailed from following God by turmoil. Notice that, completely derailed. That means a train must run on what? The tracks. It says some families have become completely derailed. Can a train run off the tracks?
Yes, it can.
And when it gets off the track, can it get back on the tracks by itself?
No.
Can it run when it's off the tracks?
No.
It's too heavy. It'll eat the ground up. So, he says, some families have become completely derailed from following God by turmoil. But then it says, others are strengthened and find victory over the turmoil.
Amen.
So, while you got one family here that's completely derailed, they're off the track, others have their turmoil, and they are victorious over the turmoil. What determines the difference in the outcome? What determines the difference? Why is one derailed and one seems to have the victory? One can seemingly go on after the turmoil. What's the difference? Faith. Okay. Amen. What else? What's the difference? Oh, Tamara? Doing what the Word of God says. Okay. Rose?
Trusting and praying.
My son, he's a big Golden State fan.
Oh, amen.
Big Golden State fan. And, you know, I've watched Golden State on occasion get down by 20 points or something like that. And they would come over there and they'd get these little sneak previews into the huddle. And you would hear the coach say something like this. Stick with our game plan. Don't play their game.
Right.
Don't play their style. Play our game. Play our style of ball. Play our game. Don't change a thing. You're changing and you're doing what they're dictating. Don't do what they dictate. Do what you know to do.
Amen.
Hey.
And guess what? They will come back out there and start playing their game, playing their plan, doing it their way, and overcome a 25-point deficit and win. G2 and I were watching game 3 of the Cleveland and Golden State game. And by all intents and purposes, Cleveland was winning the game. And it seemed like they were going to win the game. Kevin Durant seemed to come down and shoot just one shot that seemed to just swing everything. And from that point on, Golden State was like, look, we got y'all number. And they won the game.
Yes, sir.
What makes the difference in the outcome? It says here, the difference in the outcome is determined by how they respond when the turmoil comes. In other words, God gives us the recipe for victory. And I've got to stick with God's game plan. I cannot play Satan's game. I cannot play someone else's game. I've got to stick with God's game. And it may not come out the way I want it to come out, but it will come out the way God intends it to come out if I play my game according to God's plan. My life, God's plan. My life, God's control. my life when turmoil. Now, by the way, you've got to have your mind already set up when it comes.
Yes, sir. That's what you do.
If you're wishy-washy and you say, well, you know, I don't really know what I'm going to do. Guess what? You're not going to make it. Is turmoil going to come?
Yes.
You can bank on it. You can bank on it. Amen. We came to soul winning yesterday. Mm-hmm. And Pastor White said, Pastor, your back tire looks like it's a little low there. And it wasn't a little low, it was a lot low. We caught a screw coming in.
Oh, no.
And so now I can get huffy puffy and, you know, why me? Bad things always happen to me. You know, I can say, well, you know what? Let's get it fixed. Let's trust the Lord and let's get it done.
Amen.
Is complaining going to help me any?
No.
No. Is putting it off going to help me any?
No.
Matter of fact, it's going to make it worse because it was about half flat as it was. Amen. We might not have made it home. So we've got to be already prepared. When turmoil, when adversity comes, I've got to take the course of action that God has laid down and make the plan of God work in my life. Okay? It goes on to say this. The lesson theme is this. Following God's plan for restoring relationships can bring peace to any family, no matter what sort of turmoil may come into their lives. Notice that. No matter what. What kind of turmoil normally comes into families? The obvious is divorce.
Yes, sir.
What else comes into families? Death, separation. What else?
Rebellious kids.
Brother? What was that?
Money problem,
financial. What else comes into two families that brings turmoil?
Bitterness.
Okay. All these things can come into the family. So no matter what sort of turmoil may come into the life, God has the answer. And so I'm either going to allow myself to get derailed and ignore what God says, or I'm going to say, here's a turmoil. Let me see what God says about that turmoil so I can overcome it and have victory over it. Some of the goals in this lesson, it says we need to identify the root causes of family turmoil. And then number two, we need to understand God's design for the family unit. What is God plan for the family? Then list the steps necessary to restore relationships, and then name some key elements that bring joy to a family. So with that said, let's get into some things here. Sometimes turmoil is in the marriage relationship. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it involves relationship between children. Sometimes it's not.
Right.
Sometimes it's between the parents and the children. Sometimes it's not.
Yes.
Sometimes it's with a husband and his job. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's with a wife and her job. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's with the wife and the upbringing of the children. Sometimes it's not. And so it's going to vary depending upon family. By the way, does the devil know your family?
Yes, he does, Pastor.
Does he know what is your weak spot?
Yes.
Yes,
he does, Pastor.
Does God know what your weak spot is? Yes.
Yes, sir.
Does God know how to make your weak spot a strong spot? Yes.
Yes, he does.
It's right here. When I am weak, then I am strong. I need to go to the Lord.
Yes, sir.
The devil does not want you to go to who?
The Lord.
The Lord. He doesn't want you to go to this book. And if you go to this book, he wants you to go to this book kind of haphazardly and kind of, you know, hit and miss, or, you know, don't trust it all the way, or misquote it or something like that. And so he knows that. Amen. By the way, the family that Jesus describes here in chapter 15 in this parable of the prodigal son certainly has its share of difficulty. And the Bible gives us a real picture of life here with this family that we're going to see here. And we get to see both the successes and the failures of Bible characters throughout the Bible. By the way, the first family unit, of course, was Adam and Eve. What are some notable family turmoil situations that we've seen in the Bible? Some notable turmoils. Yeah, Serge?
Murder,
yes. But I'm talking more about family, the family name or the family members. What are some that we know of? Murder would be one, which is who is that? Who's the first murder?
Cain and Abel.
Who are some other notable families that we know scripturally had some issues of turmoil in that family? Brother Duffy?
Sibling rivalry with Joseph and his brothers.
Joseph and his brothers. That's another one of family turmoil. What's another one of family turmoil? Yes?
Favoritism with
Jacob and Esau. It's another one. These are some notables. Amen. Y'all listed all the ones that I wrote down. Cain and Abel, Jacob and Esau, Joseph and his brothers. These are classic turmoils here. By the way, what about New Testament? Anybody think of someone in the New Testament?
Maybe Mary and Martha. She was serving. Mary and Martha.
Bid her come help me. She left me alone to serve. It was another classic New Testament turmoil. How about Jesus and his brothers and sisters?
Yes.
They said they didn't believe on him. They didn't believe him. They said, look, you know, going up to the feast. He said, I'm not going up there. I said, neither did they believe him.
Yes, sir.
So how'd you like that, growing up with Jesus? You don't believe he's the Messiah.
Oh, my goodness.
Although he's never sinned.
Right.
Although he's done everything right. And you think, yeah, you're going to be the Messiah? Yeah, right. So there are some classic family turmoils there. So let me give you some things that we're going to talk about here. By the way, in this particular story here, it says that the Bible is very practical for you and I because it shows us both problems people have as well as how to deal with those problems. The family turmoil in chapter 15 in this parable was a direct result of choices made by the younger son. Our most family turmoil problems, a matter of choice. Think before you answer that. Are most family problems a matter of choice? Now think before you answer. Think hard. Are most family turmoil issues a matter of choice? Kathy?
Alcoholism?
Well, no, that is a matter of choice. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
But I'm asking, most family issues, is it a matter of choice? Yes. Amen. Amen. Response is key. So Mrs. Hall would say, yes, it's a matter of choice. Most of them are a matter of choice. Mm-hmm. Any other input on that? Give you the obvious. Do you have to get married?
No, you don't.
So is that a matter of choice?
Yes.
So if you do get married and you have turmoil, what was that? It's a matter of choice.
Choice.
I married my wife. It was a matter of choice.
Amen.
We've had our share of turmoil, but it was a matter of choice. If I didn't marry her, I wouldn't have that turmoil.
Right.
But guess what I would have? Single turmoil. Amen. So it's either I'm going to have single turmoil or I'm going to have married turmoil. But I'm going to have turmoil either way it goes.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
The Bible says in the flesh, I'm going to have issues. I'm going to have problems. Yeah. Amen. So whether I stay single, so it is a matter of choice. Everything is about choice. It's choice how I respond to the situation because most family turmoil problems are a matter of choice.
Yep.
How I respond to it. Mm. How I respond because God gives me the way to respond. I already know problems are going to happen. I already know that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a no-brainer. give you some things here. Let me fill out the outline real quick. In your books there, Roman number one, the reasons for family turmoil. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. The reasons for family turmoil. A then would be there's a focus on self. B, there's a rejection of structure. And D, there's a decision to sin. Now, again, this is dealing with the prodigal son. So don't think about this as in all cases. So again, the reasons for family turmoil. A, there's a focus on self. B, there's a rejection of structure. And then C, there's a decision to sin. Okay? Now with that in mind, the prodigal son's rebellion against his father was the cause of this family's turmoil. We already know that. And the rebellion and pride are at the heart of most of the trouble and turmoil that impacts families. But what are some other known reasons of family turmoil? What are some known reasons of family turmoil? Of course, here it is pride. It is rebellion against the father and against the family structure here. But what are some other known reasons of family turmoil? Ms. Hall? Disagreements. Okay. What are some other reasons of family turmoil besides disagreements? Yes, Kathy?
Just like I said a while ago.
What, alcohol?
Yeah.
Amen. Alcohol, that's a problem. What else? Reasons for family turmoil. What are some other reasons? Jealousy. Okay. What else? That happened with Joseph and his brothers? Cain and Abel? Mm-hmm. What else? I mean, come on now, y'all. Think about your family. Think about other families that you know. Think about families that you've seen, families you work with maybe. Misunderstandings. Okay, yes. Husband's not in charge. Wife takes over. Amen. We're going to talk about this tonight in the movie. Offenses. I got offended. My little sister said this, or my little brother said this, or mama said this. Mm-hmm. Give you some other things. Reasons for family. What about dysfunctional families?
Yes.
Dysfunctional. By the way, do you know that God knew that dysfunctional families would be? The definition of dysfunctional is this: deviating from the norm of social behavior in a way regarded as bad. So if a dysfunctional family deviates from the norms or the social behavior in regards to what is bad, what then would be a normal family? What's a normal family? None of y'all got normal families? It was a normal family. Now, what did God create in the first place? One man, one woman. That's a normal family. And what do they have? Children. So a normal family is one man, one woman, and they have children. Now, of course, we know with that one man, that one woman, sin came in, and so their children then had issues. But the issues came from the one man and the woman. And that issue was called what? Sin. And so now we have dysfunctional families where there's no dad or where there's no mom. Or where there is, a mom now or a stepmom or a stepdad. And so now we've got these different types of families where there is his children and her children, like the Brady Bunch. And then they've got to come together. So now I may be favoritism towards my kids, or she may be favorite towards her kids. So now we've got his kids, got her kids, and then they get together and have a child. Now, what is that? Now, that's ours. So we got his, hers, and ours. Now, do you think turmoil is going to come into that family? Yeah, just look at some of the Bible characters there where they had the concubines and all the wives and all. There was always issues with that, you know. So there's going to be problems with that. What are some other reasons? Favoritism, isolation. By the way, different children have different learning curves. Is that going to be turmoil? Yes, especially if you're a homeschooler. You're trying to teach one way, and one comes along, doesn't catch it that way, and now you got to spend more time with him and or her, and then him or her thinks, well, mom's just overshadowing me. The other thing, well, now mom's spending more time with them, and on and on it goes. And so there's going to be turmoil. What other turmoil? Maybe there's some speech problems amongst the children. One can't speak as good as the next. Maybe there's some looks. Maybe one looks better than the other. One's more athletic than the other. One's more this than the other. Maybe their personality clashes amongst the family. One son or daughter, it doesn't clash good, doesn't mix good with the other one.
Right.
Then maybe there's some communication issues. Maybe we're trying to keep up with the Joneses, as Brother Duffy. Maybe we're trying to keep up with finances. Maybe there's some budgeting problems. Maybe there's a pull of the world. Maybe there's a domineering wife. Rose said that. Amen. Maybe there's a passive dad. Maybe there's an alcoholic dad, as Kathy said. Maybe there's some kids on drugs right now. Maybe there's a dad on drugs. Maybe there's a mom on drugs. As Sam said, maybe there's some in-laws that are meddling. Amen. Or outlaws, whatever the case may be. Amen. So all of these are reasons for family turmoil. And by the way, don't you think God knew that this was going to be in existence?
Yes, sir, he did.
Yes. He knew this was going to be in existence. Let's go to Isaiah 53 and verse number 6. Isaiah 53 and verse number 6. Let me get somebody to read that. So all these are reasons for family turmoil, and there are many, many others. Isaiah 53 and verse number 6. And who's there can read that for me? Isaiah 53, 6, Rose? Amen. So at one time or another, all of us are going to fit this verse in our families. We're going to be like a sheep. We're going to go astray because we're going to want to turn to our own way. We're going to want to have our own way. We're going to want to do our own way. I want it my way. We're singing Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. I want it my way. And if it ain't my way, it's the highway for you. So all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. So we're all going to fit that at one place or another. Okay. And with that said, that's going to put within the family structure some turmoil. Now, aside from the ones that I mentioned, what are some other reasons for family turmoil? How about one of the obvious? I don't feel loved.
Yes, sir. That's right, Pastor.
If I don't feel loved in the family, what am I going to do? I'm going to look for it. I'm going to create drama. I'm going to find it somewhere else. I'm going to find it in someone. Every human being wants to be loved, bar none. People might want to stay and say what they want to say. I'm this and I'm rough and I'm tough and I don't need this. Phooey. Everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to be accepted. And if I don't feel loved in my family, I will get love from someplace. Now, whether it's the right kind of love or not, I'm going to get that. So there's so many reasons for family turmoil. But this particular story here, go back to Isaiah. I'm sorry, not Isaiah. Luke 15. Luke 15. Anybody think of anything else? A family unit maybe that you saw? Anybody else? How about this one? The father's not there, and so now the son has got to be the dad. So he never really has a childhood. So he gets married. And because he never really had a childhood, he wants to get all the things that he didn't get as a child. Hey, I got married. One of the first things I wanted was a remote control car.
There you go, Pastor. There you go.
And I got one.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because I could. Now, that's something small.
Yep.
But what about these guys where they've got to be the man at home, and so they can't be a child? Right. Or the young girl who's got to be the mama at home, and she can't be a girl.
Right.
And now she's married. She's got her own family. Are there going to be some problems with that? Yes, because they didn't have a normal childhood. And so there's so many scenarios of family turmoil issues that we can think of here. But let's get into this one here a little bit. And so reasons for family turmoil, that's the first one. A rebellion and pride was what impacted this family. And most of trouble and turmoil that impacts families is going to come from pride and or rebellion. Why would we say that? Most of family problems are going to come from pride and or rebellion. Why would we say that? We are selfish.
Yes, ma'am.
We are selfish. Why are most problems going to come from that? We are selfish. What was the Satan's sin? Pride. I. Does everybody in the family want their own way? Yes, I want to watch what I want to watch. I want to go where I want to go. I want to eat what I want to eat. I want to sleep where I want to sleep. I want to brush my teeth when I want to brush my teeth. I want to wash my face when I want to wash my face. I want to.
Oh, man.
Where's the we?
Yeah, that's right, Pastor. That's right.
And we're all honest. We all want it our way. The wives want to cook what they want to cook. Husbands want to eat what they want to eat. Kids only want dessert.
Yes, sir.
And so there's going to be this family turmoil from pride and rebellion. That's exactly what this prodigal son is going to exhibit here in his life. And by the way, at the root of most problems in families is going to come from us wanting to do what we want to do in the family. Now, it also stems from all the other dysfunctions of the family as well. Amen. So put that in there. Well, so there's a focus on self. By the way, trouble in the family arises and we begin to focus solely on ourselves. Go back down to chapter 15. Notice in verse number 12. The father of them, the younger of them said to his father, "Father, do what?
Give me.
So what is that? That's a focus on self. He says, give me the portion of good that falleth to who? To me. So what is that? Focus on self. He said, I want what I want. And so when you look at this, there's a focus on self. There's reasons for family turmoil. There's always going to be this individuality. I want what I want. By the way, in the Jewish culture, a son was allowed to request his inheritance if the father was treating him unfairly or unjustly. There's no indication that this father did so. So there's really no reason for this guy to ask for that. The father certainly was willing to divide his goods to his sons when he was asked to do so. We see the focus of the son was solely on his own interests and his own appetites. He was uncaring. He was unthankful. He didn't think twice about what turmoil it would cost his family.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
By the way, I thought about running away once when I was a child. I had done something. I knew I was going to get in trouble for it. And I thought about running away. Mm-hmm. Do you know that I never once thought about what it would do to my sisters? Mm. How it would affect them?
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Do you know that I never thought once how it was going to affect my mom and my dad?
Mm-hmm.
What did I think about? Anybody want to guess what I thought about?
Yes.
What aspect of myself?
Pride.
It was pride, but what about that pride?
Yeah.
I didn't really feel sorry for. Well, I did in a way. I didn't think about my sisters and how it was going to affect them. I didn't think about how it was going to affect my mom. I didn't think about how it was going to affect my dad. I thought about one thing. Discipline.
There we go.
What would happen to me if I stayed? That's all I thought about. What's going to happen if I stay? What's going to happen if I own up to this and say, yeah, you know, you're right. I deserve what's coming to me. What's going to happen if I stay? I never thought about if I run away, how they're going to feel. I just thought about if I just get away from this punishment, I'm okay.
There you go, Pastor.
Hey, by the way, that's what people think about getting saved. I don't really care. I just want to get away from this pain it's going to be. I want to get away from this gospel. I want to get away from this conviction. I want to get away. I don't really care about other people. That's what a lot of people think. I just want to get away. That's why when they hear the gospel, they want to run.
Amen.
Amen. And so he has some selfishness in his own heart. He says, give me the portion of good that falleth to me. And of course, he divided unto them his living. He gave it to them. And he went away and he just wasted on riotous living. He was uncaring. He was unthankful without thinking twice about the father's lifetime of work and the father's sacrifice that he had made to accumulate all this. He focused solely on what he wanted to do with the money and how he wanted to live. There was no expression of grief at all to dad or the elder brother. So what we're saying here, reasons for family turmoil in your family and in my family, oftentimes it's going to come from our focus on ourself and what we want to do, if we're honest.
That's right, Pastor.
If we're honest. Now, mothers normally are the ones that are the least selfish because they're always giving. And so normally they're the least selfish.
Yes, sir, Pastor. But
there's a focus on self. But then number two, or B, there's a rejection of structure. Let me read what they got written here. They say, we see the younger son never consulted his father for advice or input on what he should do with his life. You know that oftentimes children will consult with you last when they have to. They'll consult with their buddies. They'll consult with their friends. They'll consult with everybody else before they talk to the parents. Why? They normally, the parents are the last ones to be consulted at times. Correction could be coming. Sir, were you going to say something, sir? Parents are going to tell them what's right. What else? These are all true. Why are the parents going to be the last ones to be consulted? Who knows the child better than just about anybody else? The parent.
The parent does.
And so they pretty much know what the parents are going to what?
Say.
And so let me source out and get another opinion. Because I know what you're going to tell me no. My children, they crack me up. I hear them in the background. No, you ask him. No, you ask him. No, I know he's going to say no. And I can hear him back there. And sometimes they'll come and ask me. And I've already heard them talking. Dad, can we blah, blah, blah? And I'll say yes. They say we can. I said, no, you can't. I just want to see your reaction on that. We knew you were going to say no. I said, I heard you guys talk. I said, if you knew I was going to say no, why'd you ask me? And sometimes I'll say yes, and they don't expect me to say yes. You know, and so we go both ways with that. Amen. So he never consulted. We don't find anywhere in Scripture where he consulted his father for advice, for input on what he should do. It seems that he rejected the structure and authority that God had placed in his life by way of his parents. It seems like he did not want advice. Seems like his mind was already made up. It seems that God is a God of order, and he did not want the order that God had set before him at this time. And it goes on to say, anytime we step outside the structure of authority in our lives, we're sowing seeds of turmoil, and those seeds will take root and grow one day.
Yes, sir, it will.
Of course, his did. Yet part of our fallen human nature is the desire to be free from boundaries and restrictions. I'm sure you've heard this before. I don't have to be a member of my church, a member of a church. I'm a member of the worldwide church.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they're saying? I don't want boundaries. I don't want restrictions. I don't want rules. I don't want any pastor over me.
Right.
Well, we're all God's children. Well, why did Paul write to churches then? And why were people taken into the number then? There was some sort of accountability. And so he rejected this structure. We're going to stop there. So there's a focus on self oftentimes when it comes to family turmoil. But there's also a certain rejection of the instated structure that is there at the time. And so we're going to stop there. I'm going to give you this memory verse, Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Because that is what normally happens to us in families. Now, is there going to be family turmoil? Yes.
Ooh, yes.
Will there be family turmoil in your life today? Possible. Mm-hmm. If not today, possibly tomorrow. If it's not in your family, maybe in your extended family. But there's always going to be turmoil. Always. Mm-hmm. Always, always, always. Amen. So reasons for family turmoil. There's always going to be a focus on self. Then second, there's going to be a rejection of the structure in some way, shape, fashion, or form. Maybe it's the family structure. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir?
Well, since you're dealing with families, you can do this. Are you going to be dealing with the father at all?
The father at all. We are going to deal with the father a little bit, but not so much. We're going to pretty much be dealing with the son's aspect of it, and we'll set the structure of the family the way it's biblically set. It does. It really does. It could be. And also the elder brother has a lot to do with that as well. Mm-hmm. So we'll set the biblical structure as to the normal. That's why I asked you, what is a normal family as opposed to a dysfunctional family? There is a normal family. There's a mother. There's a father. That father is the head. The wife is submissive. Those children are obedient. That is the normal family. That is very, very rare these days. We're so dysfunctional in that fact. We bought into the world's philosophy of what a family should be. And we've got to get back to the blueprint of what God says. Amen. So Isaiah 53:6 is going to be there. Reasons for family turmoil. Amen. By the way, because sin exists, there's always going to be turmoil.
Yes, sir, it is, Pastor. There
you can mark her down. Now, we can either have victory over it or we can be victims of it. One of the two. I mean, I want to be the victor, amen, because amen. God has given me the victory already through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. So let's trust his word, amen. Isaiah 53:6, and we'll pick up with this next week. Father, once again, we know that there's going to be some turmoil. We understand that, Lord, but we also understand that, Lord, that we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. Lord, you've given us the victory. We've got your word, Lord, that we can respond negatively. or we can respond positively, or we can respond with the Spirit of God, or we can respond with the spirit of the flesh. God help us to understand there are many, many reasons to family turmoil. And at the same time, many of those reasons are going to fall when it comes to us being selfish. And then it's going to fall to us rejecting a structure that has been set in place for us. And God help us to fall in line with what you have biblically set for us as far as our guidelines. And then produce, Lord, the quality of life that you would have for us to show to a wicked world that's lost and dying. And help us, Lord, that are saved to show that we are saved. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. Isaiah 53:6 is going to